The Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let us pray. Our Father, we bow our hearts and our heads before Thee at this hour, praising Thee and giving Thee glory that Thou hast sent the Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, back to Thee. How precious and gracious Thou art that Thou would open that new and living way through the flesh and blood of Christ, that we could have approach to Thy throne of grace. We thank You and praise You for it today. O Lord, we do desire that those who will hear today, this broadcast will hear not only with their outer ears, but the ears of their soul. And Thy Holy Spirit will take Thy Word home to their hearts and work effectually in them. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Have you written for your free book that we're offering this month entitled The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther? It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. I'd like to put this book in your hands. Martin Luther thought so, and everybody that's read it, it's one of the greatest of all of Luther's writings. At issue in this book is the freedom of the human will, against which Luther affirms by the Word of God the grace of a sovereign God, and that man is totally unable to save himself, confirming that the work of the Holy Spirit is necessary in the salvation of a precious soul. It's entitled The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther. It's yours free and postpaid if you'll write us a book of over 400 pages, and we'd like to put it in your hands. Write for it. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We have laid before you from God's Word in our last three messages four essential elements or ingredients of true saving faith whereby we could test whether or not we possess this grace of God in truth. Let me give them to you again today. First, true saving faith consists of a yielding to the authority of God, which means a submitting of myself to His rule. Second, true saving faith consists of a genuine coming to Christ, which means that I leave my sin behind. Third, true saving faith consists of the complete surrender of my whole being and life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which means I embraced Christ in all of His offices as prophet, priest, and king. Fourth, true saving faith consists of a believing of Christ with the whole heart, which means that I trust Him with the understanding, the affections, and the will. It is to this fourth essential ingredient of saving faith that we have looked at in the last two messages and which we desire to look again. We have seen that the Scriptures describe our believing with our understanding and with our affections, and now in our message today, we desire to look at what the Scriptures teach concerning our will. And my friend, if you've ever listened to one message in your life, I desire that you would listen to this one. I really do. I'm going into some matters, and I believe God wants you to understand and to know, and I pray that God, by His Spirit, would take it home to each and every heart. Now, do you remember what we showed you in our past messages? We showed you that there are three principal faculties of our being by which we come to Christ by faith and lay hold of Him to the saving of our never-dying souls. I will give them to you again. They are the understanding, the affections, and the will. You see, God has so made us that these three faculties are subordinate one to the other and follow in that order: understanding, affections, and will. One faculty is influenced by the other. Now, the question to answer today, and I want you to hear it, how do we come to Christ savingly with the will? To answer this question so that we will be both true to our living God and His unbroken Word and to your never-dying soul, we must of necessity go slowly and tear down all the prejudices that have been built up against the truth of God's Word concerning the will of man before we are enabled to give you the truth. Listen now, as we go into this most important aspect of true saving faith. You and I know that the popular idea now prevailing and which is taught from the majority of pulpits is that man has a free will, and that salvation comes to the sinner through his making a decision for Christ, believing with his free will that Christ died for him, and that all a man has to do to be saved is to will it, and it is done. But my friend, this is not what God's Word teaches by word or by example. It teaches quite the opposite. Listen to Romans 9:16. The Word of God says, "It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." We read in John 1, verses 12 and 13, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Look at Romans 3:11. "There is none that seeketh after God." Why? "Because the will of man, being controlled by his darkened understanding and his prostituted affections, will never seek God apart from the quickening and saving power of the Holy Spirit working in him." So you see, man will never come to God. It is God's will in salvation. Watch it now. I know that to get on a subject like this and to deny the free will of man, that is, his power to choose that which is good, his native ability to accept Christ savingly, is to bring the fires of hell down upon my head. I know this. But how am I going to give you the truth of saving faith unless we take away that which is false? And my friend, this idea of man's having a free will is false, and I must cry out against it. So before you turn me off and throw me out as a just another babbler, as the Athenians did the Apostle Paul, I want you to listen to what we have to say. And I want you to test it by God's Word. Peradventure, God will open your heart to see the truth of His Word as He did mine. And this is what I am asking Him to do. All right? Are you listening? The question is asked, what is the will? All right, let's define that then. Then we can understand whether or not man has a free will to choose Christ apart from the quickening power of God's Holy Spirit. The question is asked, what is the will? We answer, the will is the faculty of choice, the immediate cause of all action. Choice necessarily implies the refusal of one thing and the acceptance of another. The positive and the negative must be both present to the mind before there can be any choice. In every act of the will, there is a preference, the desiring of one thing rather than another. Where there is no preference but complete indifference, there is no action by the will. The will is to choose, and to choose is to decide between two or more alternatives. But there is something which influences the choice, something which determines the decision. Therefore, the will cannot be sovereign because it is the servant of that something. Listen to me now. The will cannot be both sovereign and servant. It cannot be both cause and effect. It can only make its choice when that something influences it. Therefore, the will cannot be called free. Now, that something which influences the will to make the choice that it does is, as we have showed you in our past messages, the depraved, darkened understanding because of sin, Ephesians 4:18, and the depraved, prostituted affections because of sin, according to Isaiah 53:2. This brings us to the question then, is a man totally depraved? That is, has his moral being, his faculties, and his character been so corrupted by his fallen Adam that he does not possess the moral willingness to choose that which is good, righteous, and holy? To this question, the Bible gives a most emphatic yes. It teaches that man is depraved. His moral ability to choose that which is good, righteous, and holy is gone. It teaches that he lies dead in trespasses and sins. It teaches that he loves darkness rather than light because his deeds are evil. It teaches that he will not come to the light lest his deeds should be reproved because they are sinful. It teaches that there is none righteous, no, not one. It teaches that there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. It teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you listening to me? It teaches that out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, and pride. It teaches that man left to himself will only choose evil because his whole moral being is prostituted because of sin. Therefore, the question is asked in Jeremiah 13:23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? And the answer is no. Therefore, neither can any choose good that are accustomed to doing evil. That's God's word, not mine. But I tell you by experience that I know that it's true. All right? Listen to me now. To try and bring this out more clearly for our understanding, let us look at the human will in three different men. Watch it now. We first want to look at it in unfallen Adam, second in the sinner, which is you and I, and then in the man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow us now. In unfallen Adam, the will was free. Free in both directions. Free toward good and free toward evil. You see, Adam was created in a state of innocency, but not in a state of holiness, or he would not have fallen. Adam's will was therefore in a condition, watch it now, it was in a condition of moral balance. That is, in Adam there was no constraining bias toward either good or evil. Therefore, Adam in his unfallen state differed from all his descendants as well as from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. He had a free will. He's the only man that ever had one. But with the sinner, which is you and I, the descendants of fallen Adam, it is different. The sinner is born with a will that is not in a condition of moral balance because there is in us a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and this gives us a bias toward evil. So too with the Lord Jesus Christ, it was far different. He also differed from unfallen Adam. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ could not sin because he was the Holy One of God. Before he was born in this world, it was said to Mary, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, as we read in Luke 1:35. Speaking reverently, the will of the Son of Man was not in a condition of moral balance, that is, capable of turning toward either good or evil. The will of the Lord Jesus was biased. It was biased toward that which is good, because side by side with his sinless, holy, perfect humanity was his eternal deity. In the light of this, we understand then that in these three, the unfallen man Adam, the sinful man who has fallen in Adam, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Lord of glory, we have these facts. The will of Adam in his unfallen state was not biased. He and he alone of all the inhabitants of the earth has truly had a free will. He alone was capable of turning toward either good or toward evil. And we know that he did use that free will, and he used that free will to plunge us all into the human race into sinful chaos. He alone was capable of turning either toward good or evil. And he used that free will to plunge us all, every one of us, of the human race into sinful chaos. In the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, we have one whose will was biased toward good, so he could choose only that which was good, righteous, and holy. But in the case of fallen man, in the case of you and I, whose heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, watch it now, we have a will which is biased toward evil, and therefore is free in only one direction, namely in the direction of evil. The sinner's will is enslaved because it is in bondage to and is the servant of a depraved heart. Are you following us? I hope that we're making it plain. It's been my cry that God would give us grace to make it plain and that He would take it home to our hearts. Watch it now. It is because of this condition of man's will, which is controlled by a depraved, darkened understanding and a depraved, prostituted affection, that we continue to set before you week after week on this broadcast the necessity of the work of God the Holy Spirit in preparing the sinner's heart for salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit to lay bare your heart to see your utter ruin before God, and the work of the Holy Spirit to draw you with cords of love and to free your will so that you will say yes to Christ and to His salvation. Now, to set before you more clear this whole subject of the impotency of the human will of itself to choose Christ, the impotency of the human will of itself to close in savingly with Christ, His salvation, His righteousness, and heavenly glory apart from the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, let us read together the account given of an awakened sinner who understood experientially exactly what we are talking about. That he had the will, but it could not do anything apart from the power of God's grace. We have this for us on the pages of Holy Writ. Will you listen? In Romans 7, we have the biblical experience of a man under Holy Spirit conviction. In verses 7 through 14, we have the account of the holy law of God doing its work as a schoolmaster to bring the poor sinner to Christ. You see, the law forces its way into the heart and shows the poor sinner that he is under the curse of God because he has not kept the whole law perfectly. When the law said, "Thou shalt not covet," the whole man was set on fire after lust and greed and pleasure. When the law said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," then every fiber of this man's being went after the law of forbidden things. When the law said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," then the most blasphemous thoughts and rebellion came into his heart. You see, the law then condemns and brings death. It stirs up sin, but it cannot take away sin. And then we hear the awakened man crying, and this is what he says. "The law is not to blame. It is good. It is holy. It is righteous. It is only exposing what has been there in my heart all the time." And then the poor sinner finds himself sold under sin, held captive by sin with no way out. Listen to him as he cries in Romans 7:15, and sees himself, his sins, and his sin nature, and finds himself held captive by them. Listen to him as his wills, as he wills, and he desires, and he cries to do that which is good, but he finds no power to perform it. He wills, but to no avail. "For I do not understand my own actions," he says. "I am baffled and bewildered by them. I do not practice or accomplish what I desire, but I do the very thing that I loathe. If then I do that which is contrary to my desire, I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, and I take sides with it. Now it is no more I that do the deed, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not." He is saying, I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and the urge to do what is right, but I have no power to carry it out. He could say, "Well, I'm going to will to be saved." But then he found he couldn't be saved. "I'm going to will to turn from sin," and he found that sin held him. "I'm going to will it. I have the will," but he did not have the power. And the power comes from God, because the will cannot act apart from the influencing power of God. Follow on to verse 19. He says, "For I fail to practice the good deeds that I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I am doing. He delights in the law of God after the inward man, verse 22. He desires the word and prayer and holy things, but he finds another law working in him, verse 23, bringing him into captivity and holding him there. He finds himself to be in a sad state. Sin holds him in captivity, and the law of God, which showed him his condition, can only condemn him. He wills and desires to do that which is good, but he has not the power to perform it, to bring the desire into action. And so in verse 24 he cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the power of this death? I'm in a sad, sad state. I want to do good, but have no power to perform it. I do not want to do evil, but I have no power against it. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He had a will. He wanted to use it, but he had no power to perform because it was shackled by sin. And then, praise God, he hears the good news of the gospel coming into his soul by true saving faith worked in him by the Holy Spirit. He then cries in verse 25, "I thank God, through Jesus Christ, I am delivered. I am set free, and the power and dominion of sin is broken by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was slain beneath my sins. He paid for them in full upon the cross, and risen from the dead, he has justified me, and I stand justified before God in him." By this we can see that the Holy Spirit has freed his will to close in savingly with Christ. He now believes to the saving of the soul. He can now say, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law and the sin of death, and that which I could not will, even though I desired to will it, I could not will it. I could not do it. I could not close in savingly with him. But praise God, he freed me. He delivered me. He gave me the grace. He gave me the power. All glory and honor and praise unto him who sits upon the throne, because he did it. And brother, that poor soul will be praising God throughout eternity that he did it. And your speaker does by the grace of God, and I praise him. Yes, because the Holy Spirit has done his work in the heart of this sinner, his will is set free to believe Christ with true saving faith, and to know with assurance that what the Lord Jesus has done for poor sinners, he's done for him. And he is now a child of God, a saved soul, kept by the power of God, indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Now he can walk in the freedom of the gospel, that law of liberty, because God has set him free. My heart praises the Lord for such a salvation, as for the work of the Spirit to give us understanding of the truth, a new heart to love Christ with the affection, and to believe in the close in with Christ with the will freed by his power. My dear friend, has God the Holy Spirit so worked in your heart? Oh, did he will, if he has not done it so far, you too will know Christ in all of his saving power and see in him a beauty and a glory forever and forever. You want a copy of this message? You write us and we'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.